Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
So, I want to talk about dancing. I want to talk about dancing today. Yeah. Pat.
Oh, dance. Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
He's a dancer.
Ballroom dancing.
He's light on his feet.
Light on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that.
We've seen the feet, so.
We want to talk about the day because I want to talk about God dances.
Mm.
God dances. You know, I'm reading through, and you've got to read the pleasure of His company, God's company, as Dutch is talking scripturally, what's happening and what some getting a better perspective of the dimensions of God and who He is. And he talks about his own dancing experiences. And he said he could do the funky chicken and some other stuff. He said his mother walked in the room when he was a kid practicing the funky chicken. And she's like, oh my goodness, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And started praying for him or something.
The whole generation saying, what in the world is the funky chicken?
Yeah, yeah. And maybe, his dad says, go get a friend. Go get a friend or something. And what's a dance or something? You stick your hands under your arm. What was it?
Pat, how do you do it?
You showed me that day. What was it?
No. I didn't show you that. But you were showing.
But, you know, I mean, you don't think about, and some people right now, as a matter of fact, we even think about saying God dances. What just, you know,
ruin their world.
Well, think about doctrinally. I mean, dance. And but I'm talking scripture. I'm not talking about what. And I love this. It's like, no, God's not like us.
Mm.
We're like God.
Absolutely.
He's created us in His image and His likeness. So when we're talking about things of that nature, when He's talking about it here, He's talking about how we're imitating God. We're this is how He made us.
Right.
I mean, if we laugh, then He laughs. If we cry, then He cries. And if we, boy, He's like into it.
Oh yeah!
Almost lost the bullet. It was laying there.
You're sucked in.
It was gone, man.
Don't go in.
He was in the zone. We're going in.
Shut the door.
It was amazing.
Shut the front door.
Nail everything down. And we're going in. And so we're going to talk about that, and in the context of just trying to help us understand how good our Father God is, and that to understand that if you have a healthy Father, understand that. In the natural sense, you understand that you can laugh, you can joke, you can play, but you also understand that He's your Father.
Mm-hmm.
So that's healthy, you know, the kindness and the sternness, and that you cannot. It's not all sternness, and it's not all, you know, and let's go have some ice cream. It's just normal life in the context that it's kind of honoring that man as your Father. Well, it's honoring God as Father. It doesn't change His qualities because we're made in the image and the likeness of God. And this is important because right now. Because so many, our perspective, the enemy just really twisted our perspective of who He is, that when you preach about this God that you only know partially of who He is, then people just start going like, well, why would I want, you know, a relationship with this, and it's the wrong viewpoint of God.
Sure.
And if they find out, it's like, you know, God loves me. Mm-hmm. God's got a plan for my life. God sings over me.
Mm.
You know, God wants my company. I think that's huge.
Huge.
Yeah, so much so that He laid down His Son's life so that He could have you in His presence right there. But we're going to talk about, you know, dancing and a particular scripture that talks about it, and hopefully get a chance to be able to speak more about that as well. And hopefully we get a chance to talk about He first loved you before, and you can fill in the blank. And that's so important because the enemy starts really attacking folks with, you know, you didn't, you know, He came looking for you. You weren't even looking for Him. He drew you to Himself, and He just showed His love to you. You said yes to Him. It was just beautiful encounter with God. All that burden of sin was lifted off. And now the enemy's trying to beat you up and act like he's trying to convince you, or you're listening to the lies of the enemy. And you say, oh man, because of this, He doesn't love me anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm not religious enough, because I don't something, maybe it's a failure. And it's like, yeah, remember, He first loved you before.
Hmm.
And that's so important because it's out of our awareness of His love for us that compels us to walk rightly before Him. You can't just do it religiously. I mean, the Pharisees were very religious, but they couldn't do it religiously. They had to meet Jesus and know the love of God. And so we're going to talk hopefully about that today, about his love compels us. The reason why is because he loved you first before. We are talking at this particular moment in the program about dancing, you know, God dancing. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought of that? As a matter of fact, there's many people who believe that you're not even supposed to dance. But David danced.
Right.
Sure. And pleased the Lord, you know, and dancing and singing, all that's in the word. And it could be that people just don't have any rhythm. I don't know what it is, or just trying to worry about people, what I look like. I don't know. You know,
Read the Bible.
And you know, you still can love God and not dance.
Mm-hmm.
And the
why are you looking at me?
You know, I'm just messing around.
I've seen you dance.
Hey,
right?
I dance.
Right?
I dance, no doubt.
Well, anyway, so Dutch Sheets writes about it in his book. He's talking about God dancing, and the pleasure of his company, which is really good biblical perspective. And he's talking from a particular verse in Zephaniah, that is Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. And he says, the Lord your God is in your midst. He's a victorious warrior. He will exalt over you with joy. Think about that. Just over you with joy. Mm-hmm. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with the shouts of joy. And that's Zephaniah 3:17. The King James says he will joy over thee with singing. In the Hebrew language, in the Old Testament, this particular word translated joy and also rejoice in the NESB, but the word really comes from the Hebrew word G-U-W-L, which means this. This is what the word actually means. It means to spin around under the influence of any violent emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. And it should be a dancing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Especially violent. No. But you think he also goes on to, this is pretty cool too, because it really shows you the language of God as pictures. That, you know, Hebrew is a pictorial language. And a word paints a picture or creates an image. And when you think about the spinning and the sound of emotion, that really joy is just too light of a word to be able to think about that. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, you know, I remember when, you know, all kidding aside, the Saints did win a Super Bowl game. And
wow.
Do you remember, you know, passive, calm, quiet, reserved?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Pat was just always calm. But when they won, do you remember that?
Oh, exuberant.
It was exuberant. And he was jumping around and dancing and pulled the bag off. But think about it. Because you're just excited. You're exuberant. Sure. Think about it. Especially being a Saints fan that long, I meant to see something good come out of Nazareth.
Yes.
And, but we're not going to talk about the Lions right now.
For sure.
That's the best croquet I've ever seen. Anyway, so badminton. But, you know, just being excited. And so God is excited over you. And one good way to understand a perspective, you know, Jesus explained the Father to us. He explained the Father to us. When you think about the prodigal and the prodigal, he's explaining what the Father is like and what happens when the prodigal comes back home again. And of course, the Father in that story, the Father in the story is the representation of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when God sees his son coming back, he throws a party. I mean, literally throws a feast and a party. Kill the fatted calf. Get everybody together. We're going to celebrate. My son, who was dead, is alive, and he's come back.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that. Mm-hmm. It's an exciting thing. And so not only is he dancing, but it's a party, and it's like the joy and that word, that particular Hebrew word, which means just like this is time to get serious and to celebrate. And it kind of shows even with Zephaniah, and it shows, and this is Jesus, all the few words that we have in him speaking to us, explaining to us his heart, is this is who God is. It's about a relationship. God wants us to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
And sin separated us from him. And so his son, he sacrificed his son, Jesus Christ, so that we could actually have this relationship with him. And so we can have this, you know, and we always pray, you know, we're praying in our prayer and fasting community is, you know, God, let me know what you're feeling, what your emotions, your mm-hmm. perfect emotions. And somebody says, well, you know, God's not like us. And you're absolutely right. We're like God.
Absolutely.
He's not created in our image and our likeness. We're created in his image and his likeness. So you can actually look at what he created according to Romans chapter 1 and look at what he's created and understand the creator who created us and right. it and stuff and things. Mm-hmm. And so that's just so important to understand. It's like some people have such difficulty in connecting with God because they make God such an abstract creation or not creation, but abstract from their reality. That it's like, that's not, no, look at, he created us in his image and his likeness.
Which is so important because your view, what your perception of who God is the most important thing about you.
Yes.
Because if your perception of God is so small, it ruins your ability to actually enter into the relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Charles Simpson says, the most important thing about you is what you think about God. Mm. Wow. Think about it. If you think Jesus is not the son of God, that thought will bring you into eternal separation from God.
Mm-hmm.
If you think and believe that he is, think about the most important thing about you. So it's important for you to meditate on the word of God and find out what God says so you can have your thoughts would be, you know, love him with all of your mind to have your thoughts right towards God, right?
Absolutely.
And so in this, he talks about, you know, the dancing aspect of it. And you've heard about footprints before, the footprints mm-hmm. in the sand. But I like what Dutch talks about in his book here, and we'll make it available to you on the VFN Torch. But he's talking about a different viewpoint, and I'm going to read it to you right here about footprints. He says, a woman had a dream in which her life was with Jesus, pictures of footprints in the sand. So she was looking at comparing it was like footprints in the sand. For much of her way, the Lord's footprints went along steadily, consistently and rarely varied in pace. It's like, imagine the footprints going on down the sand. Her prints, however, were disorganized streams of zigzags, start, stops, turning around, circles, departures, and returns. For a long while, they seemed to go like just like this. But gradually, her footprints came in line with the Lord's and eventually paralleled his consistently. She and Jesus were walking in true relationship. These are dreams that she's getting, and that was the first. The second is, and this seemed perfect, but then an interesting thing happened, he goes on to say. Her footprints that once were etched in the sand next to the mattress were now walking precisely in his steps. Inside his large footprints were small footprints safely enclosed. She and Jesus were becoming one. This went on for many, many miles. Mm. So now in this vision or this dream that her footprints inside this big footprint. So it's like a small footprint inside his footprint. Then she goes on to say, but gradually she noticed another change. The footprints inside the larger prints seemed to grow bigger. Eventually they disappeared altogether. There was only one set of footprints. They had become one. Again, this went along for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, then something awful happened, she says. The second set of footprints was back. So you go back. The original footprints were back. This time, it seemed even worse than the beginning. Zigzags all over the place, starts, stops, deep gashes in the sand, literally a mess of prints. She was amazed and shocked, but this is how the whole dream ended. That's how it was. So the lady went to the Lord in prayer, seeking an understanding. Lord, I understand the first scene in the dream where the zig, the zag, and the fits and starts and stops. I was a new Christian, just learning, but you walked on and helped me learn the way to walk with you. And the Lord says, this is correct. Then when the smaller prints were inside yours, I was actually learning to walk inside of your steps. I was following you more closely. Very good, the Lord said. You understand everything so far. Then the smaller footprints grew and eventually filled yours. I suppose that was actually growing in you and becoming more like you in every way. Precisely, the Lord says. And then she says, but this is my question, Lord. The footprints went back to the original steps, how they were at the beginning. And this time they were more chaotic than they were at the first. This is a very huge regression in my life, she talks about. And the Lord smiles and he laughs and he says, you don't know what that is? And she says, no. He goes, that was us dancing.
Oh, wow.
Is that not awesome?
Wow.
Is that, because sometimes, you know, that. When you're going on this journey, you can keep comparing things to your original walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And there comes a point when it's like, you got to grow up. And your parents aren't looking at you as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at you as a man, as a woman. And it's like, let's just live life now, you know, and walking with God. I mean, God's not always, you're growing up in God, becoming more. Let's relate. The whole point was for a relationship. And so I just want to just encourage you today, you know, ever how you want to obviously it's ever how,
mm-hmm.
but celebrating God, he celebrates you. He sings over you. And begin to have this perspective of him, because this will, it's the compelling love of God that brings you into obedience with him. You obey him. He says, if you love me, you will obey me. Understand the context of that. If you just think, oh my goodness, I've got to love on God today. I got to do this. I got to do that. But if you understand he loves you and that overwhelming love, it will compel you to go, what can I do for him? Mm-hmm. And then you begin to look in his word and go, you know what? What do you want, lover of my soul?
Mm-hmm.
The one whose footsteps are all over the sand because we're dancing together today. What do you want from me? What you think about it. It's awesome, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
And somebody says, you know, then, and this is what's happened is you looked at that particular scripture backwards and where Jesus says, you know, if you love me, you will obey me. You're thinking, okay, I'm going to have to obey God. That's how I love God. And that's how he's going to love me back. The truth is, no, he loved you before all that.
Mm.
And the knowledge of him loving you, the knowledge of that reality empowers you to love him, and you're compelled now to obey him. So obedience comes out of the compulsion that comes from your knowledge of his love. Just because you lose the knowledge of his love does not mean he doesn't love you. You just don't know he did, or you forgot he did.
That's right.
Because nothing can separate you from the love of God.
That's right.
But the knowledge of the love of God, the enemy can come in and religion can come in. And, you know, who bewitched you? You were walking a good walk. And now all of a sudden, you know, do I do these things amongst you because you obey some law or because you believe?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says. What Paul's talking about the church of Galatia. And it's like, yes, no, but obedience does come in. And it is a byproduct of our relationship, loving relationship with God. But understand, it comes from love. I mean, you have to have that perspective, and you don't think God loves you and celebrates you and sings over you, and his heart is broken when, you know, you do sin, or we do sin, or we go adrift or something of that nature. I mean, look at his talk with Moses.
Hmm.
I mean, he's with Moses, and you know, he's walking, trying to bring his folks outside of. Well, he's bringing them outside of Egypt, and he responded to their cry. He's about to show himself mighty, and he's so upset. He's so upset. He's like, I got to go. Mm. I got to go. Yeah, those moments. Like, I got to go. You ever have one of those moments?
It's just
You don't just want you to stay. No, you need me to go, Moses, right?
That's right.
And so then he says, I'll just leave him with you. You know, matter of fact, I may even start over with you again.
Mm.
But I'll just leave him with you and send an angel here and you guys walk along. And so God's heart was hurt. God's loving on Israel, and Israel's doing that to God. You think about it. And so it's not that God's not hating. The very fact that he loves you is the reason why hardship's happening in your life. Consider hardship as discipline.
Right.
God's treating you as a son. Understand, if you think it's religious, then you're missing everything. You're constantly failing, and you're getting further and further away from the knowledge of the love of God. And it's like a roadblock for you. But if you understand God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life, and God's grace is sufficient, and his mercies are new every morning, that will actually empower you through your trust and your reliance on the finished work of the cross of Christ to begin to walk in obedience that you thought you could never do before. Because God will empower you through his son and your faith and his finished work and his love for you. Don't forget, God loved you before all that, before you did anything. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. He loved you. Why would he change it now? Get back in tune with the love of God and find out what you and God through the leadership of Jesus Christ can do all for his glory. We're talking about, you know, God dancing. I know it's kind of, but, you know, and reverently thinking about a relationship with God as our father and the prodigal father. And you got to got to listen to that, get a perspective, because the more you know about how much God loves you, the more you're going to be compelled to love him back in a way which comes out in obedience. But you're compelled by your love for him. When you love, I mean, think about it. When this guy falls in love with this girl, I mean, the first thing he wants to know is, do you like flowers? What kind of flowers do you like? Do you like the Saints?
No. Well,
like
you will learn.
You will.
Guaranteed.
You like DVD players? What do you like? What do you,
so falling truly in love with God, you want to know what God likes. You want to know what he wants because you love him. But if you look at the Bible as a book of rules, a little here, a little there, all that kind of stuff, it's not going to be good because that's not who he is. He's a lover of your soul. He loves you and has a plan for your life.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsors and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.